in the way we talk. Yeah, you know, I mean, Christians should never have filthy mouths. Amen. It's unbecoming of a Christian. And I know a lot of folks don't think about it, and understand that when you get saved, that doesn't go away. You have to discipline yourself for that to go away. Amen. It's you. You have control over that. Right? Come on. Now listen, folks. We act like a lot of times we can't help things, but when you get in situations we can't help, we do it. Right? I mean, I'll give you a little example. I've being a pastor and being around people, I've had, you know, folks that I knew that were pretty filthy mouthed, and they wouldn't be filthy mouthed around me. Now, if they can do that around me for some time, then they could do it all the time around everybody. Right? Come on, you know. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times if you look at yourself, if you've got habits, I've had folks that, I'll give them an example. My brother, he's a smoker, you know, but when he gets in my vehicle, he doesn't smoke. And so, you know, at all. So that tells me you don't have to smoke. Now, don't keep him from craving it. Right? But he's able to control it when he wants to. And see, with us, we can control our mouth when we want to. We can watch what we say. We can choose our words carefully. And that's what he says. He says, you need to be an example in word. And then he says, in conversation. Now, in conversation here, that does not mean talking again. But it talks about your lifestyle. You need to be an example of the believer in your lifestyle. Amen. See, when you're out here, if you're out here running around and doing acting like the world, you're not acting like a believer or being an example of a believer. You're being an example of the world. Your lifestyle ought to be different than the world's lifestyle. Because, you know, you can look at it and say, well, you know, that's everybody else does this. Well, you're not everybody else. You're a born-again believer. He said be an example of a believer. You're a child of God. Just because everybody else has done it don't mean it's all right for you to do it. Come on. You know, you know a lot of folks are into sports and that kind. You know, a lot of folks, when it comes to sports, they lay down their Christianity when they get in the arena. Come on now. Some, they're bad-mouthing the referees. Come on. Quarreling about this and quarreling about that. Well, you've got to be an example of a believer there too. Right? Come on now. So he says in our lifestyle we need to. In charity, which means love. In the way we love folks, we need to be an example of a believer. Amen. Through this election, a lot of folks have had high tempers and all this kind of thing. But you know, when it comes right down to it, you better love somebody. Come on, you got to love one another. It don't matter where you won or whether you lost or what. You have, the whole thing about it is we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. So we got to love one another. So he says you need to be an example in love, in spirit and in faith. You know, we need to be an example to people. Let them see what it's like for a person to walk in the spirit and act out their faith. You know, a lot of folks don't have any faith. Do you know that? They really don't. They don't operate in faith at all. Now, God gave us a measure of faith. They get saved, but then they don't operate in faith after that. Everything that happens from that point on is just happenstance. It's just whatever fate brings along instead of them beginning to use their faith and change circumstances and situations. So we need to learn how to be able to do the same thing. He says be an example of that. And of course then in impurity, keeping yourself pure before God. We need to be an example of that. And so then he goes on down to this and, you know, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. So he says, keep telling everybody about me. Keep telling everybody about Jesus. Keep following me as I follow Christ. Let's get this thing out there to where you're giving your attention to these things so that you can be an example of the believer. He goes on, talks about, neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with a laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto thy doctrine, continuing in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. Notice this, that he says, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, your progress, your good doing may appear to all. See, here's the thing. The way we walk out our lives impacts other people's lives. People watch the way you live. They see whether or not you're doing what a Christian's supposed to be doing or not. You say, well, how do they know if they're not a Christian? How do they know what a Christian's supposed to do? Well, it's not that they know what a Christian's supposed to do. It's that they know how the world does. And if you're doing like the world, they know you're not doing what a Christian's supposed to do. Right? And so we need to make sure that we're walking out our lives the way that God would have us to walk out, to be an example to people, letting them see us walk this thing out. Let them see God in us. Now, jump over here with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 here. And of course, this is familiar scripture, but this is Jesus talking here. And he says, you're the light of the world. Notice that? You are. The church, the believers, the born again ones. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice that. God says, let people see your good works so that He gets glorified. See, when you're doing things, you've got to understand, you're a direct reflection on God when you say you're a believer. Right? If you say I'm a child of God, if you say I'm a Christian, and if you don't think that's true, you just get around the world and get around some Christian that's not behaving like they are and listen to how the world talks about them. Well, I thought they was a member of the church. You know, that's what folks say around here. I thought they belonged to so-and-so church. Well, they sure don't act like one to me. Right? See, folks will be quick to judge you. So it's important that you and I are making sure that we're doing things that become a Christian. Things that glorify God. Things that magnify God. Things that point to Jesus and the goodness of God. And that's why Jesus says, you know, you need to let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works. Understand this, that our example of the goodness of God in our lives may be the only Bible a lot of folks ever see. Because they're not going to pick up the Bible most likely and ever read. But if they know you're a child of God, they watch your lifestyle. They watch and see how God operates in your life and how you react to the way God operates in your life. See, a lot of times folks act just like Christians, act just like the world when they have something come on them. Some kind of tragedy, or sometimes even when something's good. But you know, Christians listen, Jesus said in this world, you will have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Christians ought not to act like the world does during tragedy. Come on now. We have a hope, folks. We have a blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our helper, right? He's our help in time of need. We should not act like the world does. It's not all gone and all lost just because something happened. Amen. We have to realize that God is always for us and He's not against us and He's always working all things together for good. So we have to see that. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, let me read this to you. Listen to this. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, this is when they brought up the disciples here and they were telling them, you know, we've told you not to preach in Jesus' name. And the disciples said, well, we're going to obey God, not man. And then it goes on and they're having this council. They're really kind of on trial here. And then finally one stands up and said, listen, if this is God, you're fighting against God. If it's not God, it'll come to naught. Right? But then notice this. With the wisdom that they answered and the way they answered the questions as they were asked, they realized. Now, they said they were ignorant and unlearned men. What that meant is they just didn't have knowledge of. And I mean, they were fishermen. They knew fishing. But here they are talking about things that they know that these guys couldn't have just known on their own. And it says that they took knowledge of it, that they had been with Jesus. I want people to be able to take knowledge that I've been with Jesus. How about you? I want them to see Jesus in me when they hear me talk. I want them to hear me talking about Jesus. Also, I want to project Jesus to them. Amen. You know, I mean, haven't you been around folks that when you're talking to them, you just like being around them? There was just something about that person. I bet you if you check it out, you'll find out they had Jesus in their life. See, a lot of times we Christians, we go around, we act like we're sadder than the world. Really? I mean, you know, we're just dragging. We just act like we got nothing to be hopeful about, nothing to be glad about, nothing to be joyous about, right? We're not smiling. Come on. We ought to go around with a smile on our face all the time. Why? Because I get to go to heaven. Come on. I get to go to heaven. That ought to make us all smile. But sometimes we just sit around and we look like the grumpiest people in the world. We shouldn't be that way. People ought to see Jesus in us. They ought to see us smiling. They ought to see us happy. Don't mean you don't have bad days, but you know on the bad days you still got to trust Jesus. And you still got to put Him first. And so, you know, we need to be speaking out Jesus, projecting Jesus, because I'm going to tell you, as children of God, we weren't meant to just sit back and be quiet about our relationship with God. Really not. Well, I mean, and I know a lot of the world does that. A lot of folks do that. A lot of even denominations, you know, they're kind of secret, undercover Christians. That's not what the Word of God tells you and I to do. You and I are not supposed to be just sitting back and being quiet. Now, in Acts chapter 17, if you remember, when the apostles are going around and Paul's traveling on his missionary journeys and he's going to different places, when he ends up in Thessalonica, here's what it says. Let me read it to you. In Acts 17, it said, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." These that have turned the world upside down. Well, why would they say that? Because the first thing Paul did when he got to Thessalonica is he went into the synagogue, started preaching to them. He started preaching Jesus to them, telling them about the goodness of God and how the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross so that they could be saved if they would believe in Him. And it was turning their world upside down. You see, you and I need to be light to this lost and dying world. We need this world. The world needs a wake up call. Did you hear me? The world needs a wake up call. They need to understand that God is still God, and there is a church still that believes in God, that believes in the principles of the Word of God, and are willing to stand up and say so. Amen. See, and I think that a lot of folks, they decided, you know what, I want what God wants this year. Amen. I think that's what happened. It's not that you know, the world is bad people. It's the world is not good. Is not God people. And if they're not God people, they don't know the things of God. Right? I mean, I know some folks that are not saved that are great people. They're great people. I mean, you know, sometimes I think they're better than some of the Christians I know. But they're still not God people. Amen. You see, and we need to be God people, especially those of us that claim to be believers, those that have claimed to be children of God. We need to make sure that we're God people. When they see us, they know that we're children of God. Now, let me show you something in John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30. Jesus there is preaching to the woman at the well, talking to the woman at the well, preaching, you might as well say. But he's talking to her, you know, and he's told her, you know, if you drink of the water that I give you, you know, you'll have a well of water in you springing up in everlasting life. But then he begins to tell her, she says, well, you know, I want this water. And he said, where's your husband? She says, I don't have one. He said, you're right. You know, goes on with the conversation. And it says in verse 28 here, it says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Notice this woman went into the city and she told people about Jesus. And when she told them about Jesus, they came out to see him. Now, once they get out there, you know, Jesus starts teaching them. And after a while, they say, you know, now we believe him for what he says. We hear him say ourselves, we believe what he's saying, not just because you said it, but now we've heard him say it. But she was the one that initiated the fact that she got them to come and hear Jesus. When's the last time you asked somebody to come to church? When's the last time you've asked somebody to come and hear about Jesus? See, if we're not careful, we can get complacent and we can just kind of get settled and we're satisfied with where we're at and we're not worried about whether we try to get somebody else in the kingdom of God. Right? We're just, as long as we're making it, you know, and the truth is, in the times we're living in, most people are running so busy and so hard, they're tickled if they can just get there themselves. Well, that's just way too busy. Amen. We're caught up in the rat race of the world. We need to be able to invite some folks, try to get some folks in, try to get some lost folks saved, right? You're not looking for members from somebody else's church. There's a whole world out there that's lost that needs Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, you can fill up your house with those people. You probably could fill up the house with your family that's lost. Right? And sometimes, you know, and the statistics say this, church, that most people go to church because somebody asked them to. That's the biggest reason somebody goes to church, especially for the first time, is because somebody invited them. And that's a bad sign for the church because we're just not doing the things we ought to do because Jesus told us that we needed to be in evangelizing. I'll give you some scripture for that in just a minute here. But I just wanted you to see here how this woman who was apparently, you know, if she's had five husbands and she's living with a man, she's probably not an upstanding citizen in the community. Right? Come on now. Matter of fact, you notice when she went into the city, she went to the men. Probably because she didn't have many women friends. Good possibility. Yeah, but you know, just if it's pretty specific, why didn't she say she just went and told the people? She went to the men, you know, because they knew her. Right? But she still wasn't ashamed to tell them about Jesus. Come see a man. Come see a man. We've got Brother Mike Manuel coming Friday night, and there's not a man, and I'm not trying to exalt him. I'm exalting what God has done in his life. But you won't find any man that lives any more the life of a child of God than Mike Manuel. You won't find anybody that'll give you as many scriptures as Mike Manuel. And here's the thing about Brother Mike. It don't matter if you call him at home. It don't matter if you see him out in the street. It doesn't matter. Mike's the same. He is a man of God with integrity that preaches the word that can change your life. And we need to be getting our families in. We need to invite folks in so that they can come see this man that God can use to tell them some things. Amen. I'm not exalting the man, but the gift there. And that's what we should be doing. We ought to honor that gift and exalt that gift and let people come and hear that because here's the thing, folks. Look around you. We ain't getting no younger. Right? Brother Mike's not getting any younger. There's coming a day that a younger generation has come up. Is anybody going to step into that office? Is anybody going to be ready to step into that office? Or is everybody so complacent with the world that they're really not concerned about their life with Jesus or what God wants to do with their life? We have to be making sure that we're doing that. Come see a man, she says. In Mark chapter 5, if you remember, Jesus went over to the city of Gennesaret. And when he went over there, he was met by that wild man. You know, we did it in the play. He'd been in the tombs. They'd tie him up with chains and fetters and he would break those. He's wild. He's naked. He's full of the devil. And when Jesus cast the devil out of him, remember, they run out into the swine. The swine run off the cliff, kill themselves. The people that are taking care of the swine go tell the owners of the swine. They come back out there and they tell Jesus to leave. And when Jesus is getting ready to leave, the wild man that was wild is now in his right mind. He's clothed and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And he says, let me go with you. And Jesus says, you go back and you tell the people the good things that God has done for you. You go back and you tell them. Now, here's the thing. He went from being a guy, I'm sure that everybody was afraid of him. I'm sure they didn't want to go around the tombs because here's that wild man up there. They didn't know what he was going to do. Now, here, can you just picture this, church? Here comes that wild man now walking into town, clothed in his right mind, and telling them about what Jesus had done in his life. You know, sometimes, you know, folks will say, well, you know, I just don't know many scriptures. Have you ever just sat down and told somebody what Jesus has done in your life? How he's changed you. How good he's been to you. How he's blessing you. Apparently, that man had enough to tell them that when Jesus went back over there to visit again, the Bible says that the whole city came out and met Jesus when he came. One man. See, sometimes we think we can't make a difference. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. An evangelist was having some meetings, and he was over in another town, and he went a whole week, and he came back from the revival. And when he came back from his revival, his wife said, well, how'd it go? And he said, well, you know, be honest with you, I'm very disappointed. He said, I only got one person saved all week. He says, a little fellow named Billy Graham. Think about that one for a minute. See, he considered that week's revival a failure. But look what God did. Because he was willing to share Jesus, Billy Graham got saved. And how many people got saved under Billy Graham's? And are still getting saved under his ministry, even though he's even gone. You see, so that's why I'm telling us that we need to be that example, because you never know when you'll witness or lead to the Lord the next person that steps up and God uses in a mighty way. You never know, you might lead the next person that's going to be pastor of this church to the Lord. You don't know, you see. And so it pays us to make sure that we're telling everybody about Jesus and making sure that they know how good he is. Matter of fact, you and I have a commission to tell them about Jesus. Right? We have a commission. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. It says, Jesus speaking to them there, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Notice this. He tells you and I that we're supposed to go teach what we've been taught. Tell people of things that we know. See, here's the problem, though. You cannot convince somebody else to live for Jesus if you're not doing it yourself. Amen. If they know your lifestyle, and I've been around folks like that, and I'm sure you have too, that, you know, they'll jump in there in the Christian conversation, and I mean, they'd be heathens. I'm talking heathens now. You know, and then you start having a Christian conversation, and all of a sudden it's almost like they just got born again. They can just fall right in. Now, I don't, you know, maybe you've not been around that. By being in strip mine 20 years, I was around a lot of that. You know, they called on one of the jobs was the airplane channel, and what that meant was somebody would say, "Did you anybody see that airplane?" And that meant go down to a certain channel because they wanted to talk about something. And most of the time it was vulgar and they was cussing and it was all this was going on and stuff. And you could, as a foreman, sometimes I would have to go to that channel and holler at some of them and say, hey, you need to do this or do that or whatever, because they wouldn't be on the channel they're supposed to be on. But then, and it didn't really bother me much because I didn't want to hear that junk anyway. You know, they did pretty good with me. But anyway, here's what I wanted to say about that. You know, sometimes when I'd go down there, you know, here's all this going on. And then sometimes on the regular channel, then we get to start talking about the Lord and the goodness of God. And the same people that I heard down there talking like, I mean, pure heathens, now all of a sudden, you know, they're talking about going to church and all this. And you're like, see, that just don't work. That's double-minded. That's not projecting the lifestyle that God says to live. You're not going to be able to win anybody over to the Lord if you're this way one time and this way another time. You're not going to win anybody to the Lord if you act like them and then turn around and try to tell them about Jesus. They're going to look at you like you're a nut. You're just like me and you're telling me about Jesus. Think about that one for a minute. You see, so we need to make sure that we're living this life and that we're behaving the way a Christian ought to behave and doing what we're supposed to do. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousnesses. Notice that. Now this is Paul writing, and he says, knowing the greatness of God. When he says the terror of the Lord, he's talking about this, again, the reverence, the fear of the Lord, knowing what it means to miss out on God even. And he said, we persuade men. But he said, we're made manifest unto God. But then he goes on and he said, and I trust we are made manifest in your consciences. In other words, I pray that you see the Jesus in us. You see God in us. We're persuading men, but we want to make sure we're pleasing God. But at the same time, we want you to see the Lord in us as we persuade you. And that's the way we all ought to be living our life. Romans 14:16 says this, let not your good be evil spoken of. Notice that. Not let your good be evil spoken of. What's that mean? Well, that means, you know, if you're going to live this thing, you don't need people talking evil about you because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, jump over here with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at this. Again, one of our favorite scriptures that we see here. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. Notice that. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which we're not a people, or in past times we're not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Notice here that we have been chosen. We're a chosen people. What are we chosen for? To show the praises of God. To let people see Him through us. It's what we were chosen for. And sometimes we sit back and people don't see the Lord through us because we don't live out that lifestyle. And we've got to make sure that we're doing that. We really need to bump up our game. And I know it's not a game, but what I'm saying there is we all need to press in a little harder. Push more toward that prize for the high calling. To make sure that we're being more of an example of the Lord Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. You can look around and you can tell there's a lot of folks could care less whether they're here or not. I know it's Wednesday night and I know folks have things and they're busy and whatever, but it's not all that. And you know it's not all that. If they got a ball game tonight, they won't miss that. Come on now. If it's a Wednesday night ball game, they won't miss that, but they'll miss Wednesday night church. If something's going on Sunday, they'll go to that and they'll miss church. Church is kind of like a thing we do when we ain't got nothing else to do. That's not the way Christians ought to operate. Christians, God ought to be first. Church ought to be first. We need to make sure that we're making it first. And that's a priority and that's a choice we have to make. We have to make sure that we're letting the world know that God is first in our life. We need to make sure that we're letting the world know that it matters to serve God. It matters, church. If it didn't matter, let's just all go home. Let's just quit. But it does matter because there is a real heaven and there is a real hell. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I go to heaven and not hell, right? So in the process, let's make sure that the world sees Jesus in us. Let's make sure that we're living that lifestyle that would make somebody else want to come to Jesus. Let's be salt to the world. And if we're salt to the world, it'll taste good. Amen? Stand to your feet with me.